God. Luke chapter 24 is literally right after the resurrection. The title of the message today is Easter's Over, Now What? Easter's Over, Now What? Now for some, you're cleaning out the dyed eggs. We did that this week. Right? You start to kind of clear out, see how what candy's really worth it. Right? And I know that's the way it has been in our house. What candy's really worth it? Because it seems like it's like a second Halloween when it comes to candy. It's like, okay, well, we don't need all of that candy. So it's a time of usually reflection that way. But it also, you know, sometimes when we've had a real big high in our life, we kind of come up against maybe just a little bit of discouragement. Has anybody ever felt that when you've had a big, big victory in your life and then you kind of feel a little discouraged right after that? Anybody here? Am I the only one? Okay. No, it looks like I got the right one. So Luke chapter 24, I want you to see that this is literally the same day that Jesus has risen from the dead. And we're going to pick up in verse 13. So we know the events because we celebrated Easter last week. We know what happened. We know that Jesus was raised from the dead. And we rejoiced here in this church. We rejoiced. We talked about why it's important to have an answer for people. I encourage you, if you didn't listen to that message, go back and get it. I believe it'll bless you. Because it will help you to have an answer for those who say, why do you have such a great hope? Why is there a smile on your face? Didn't you see the news? Didn't you see all the destruction? Didn't you see all the political fighting and the divisions and blah, 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 and another shooting? Didn't you see all that? Yes, I did. But I still choose to put my eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
I still choose to look up. I still choose to put my focus on the risen Lord, because I know that none of these things took him off guard. And so when we look here, it says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And when they talked together about all the things that had happened. So while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So when you are in those moments of discouragement, I want to give you an encouraging word. Even when your eyes aren't focused on the goodness of God, on how good God is, Jesus draws near to you. He draws near to you even in your despair, even in your confusion, even in your fear, even in your trouble, even in that discouraging thing that you're dealing with in your body, in the finances, in relationships, in just difficulties in life. We all come across stuff. I reference Reverend Ennis's message from a couple of years ago about, hey, we all got stuff, right? You know, we all have stuff. It's what is our focus when we get that stuff, right? So this is a great example of how Jesus draws near in those moments. When you're going through that difficulty where you think, I don't know if there's a way out. I just had a victory, right? But now all of a sudden the reality of, man, there's stuff going on. And I'm just feeling it. You know, Pastor Christine was talking about that soulish realm and where the enemy comes and he tries to discourage us in that soulish realm. That's the arena that he works best in. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. That's what he does. That's how he operates. He operated that way all the way back in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve fell. What did he do? He went to thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. How do we get depressed? Thoughts, ideas, suggestions. Right? So when we're looking at these disciples, now I think it's interesting, they don't tell exactly their names. They tell one of their names. God gives us one of their names, but it says two were traveling. So they have experienced the height of victory on Palm Sunday. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They thought they were going to be delivered. Their hopes were dashed. Not only were their hopes dashed and they saw him die on the cross, they saw, they heard with their own ears, it is finished. They saw the earthquake. They saw the dead bodies that literally came out of the grave. Ooh. They heard of the veil that was ripped into. That veil was several feet thick from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. So no human being ripped it. It was God ripping that veil, saying, no longer will I be separated.
Thank you, Lord.
From my creation, man.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to tell you something. These disciples had experienced all of those things. They experienced the victory. They walked with him. They saw him feed the 5,000. They saw him raise the dead. They had highs. They were like, this guy can't lose. Only to have their hopes dashed. And they saw him taken lifeless off of the cross and put into a grave. So you can imagine the bewilderment. Days have set in now. They're wondering, are they coming for me? Are they coming for me? Fear sets in. Should I even be seen nearby? But they're walking 7 miles from Jerusalem. I want you to get that picture and put yourself in their place just for a moment. Maybe you can identify. Maybe you can realize that you've had some victories and then some things didn't seem like it went well. Something, you got a bad report. You had a difficulty. You had a reversal in your finances. You had something just didn't go right. That job didn't work out. That situation that you're going through at school just didn't seem like. It says that they were walking along the road to Emmaus, and they were talking. They were commiserating. We like to sometimes say, I was venting, right? How many in here ever vent? There comes a point, I understand, I really do. There comes a, sometimes you need to blow a little bit of that steam off with somebody that you trust. Hey, this is what's going on. I don't suggest to us as faith people that we just bottle it up all inside and never talk. But I also don't encourage you to keep venting and venting and venting. Because you know what that does? All it does is it reinforces the problem. Not the answer. So as they're venting, as they're probably commiserating about what had happened, they're probably second guessing themselves. Was he really who he said he was? I mean, did we just waste up to 3 years of our life following him? I mean, they're in fear. They're confused because on the one hand, they saw with their own eyes. And on the other hand, they saw with their own eyes. And they're confused. I love it. In those moments, what does Jesus do with us? When we're not in our best walk of faith and talk of faith, what does he do? He just draws near. I'm so thankful he draws near. I'm so thankful he draws near. Aren't you? Oh, even when I don't see him. We sing a song sometime, even when I don't feel him, he's working, right? He never stops working. Even when I don't feel him, even when I don't see him, he's working. And so Jesus draws close to them, But verse 16 says something. Their eyes were restrained, so they didn't know him. You know, sometimes we really do need to go back to that old prayer, that old song, God, open my eyes that I might see Jesus. Open my eyes that I might see that in the middle of my turmoil, in the middle of my confusion, in the middle of my anger, all of us have been there. He's there. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's there.
He's there.
So thankful he's there. In verse 17, Jesus asks a question. He's always asking questions. And it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He knows the answer. He's trying to get you to get your focus adjusted off of the stuff. My late mother-in-law, she would have a saying, like if you got at the dinner table and you were tempted to vent, what would she say, Abigail? Or she would say, we don't talk about stuff at the dinner table. Because it was a place of peace. And she loved food. And she loved cooking for people and things like that. And so that was a place of peace. And she would guard that. Do you know we should take a little tip and guard how much you allow stuff to consume what you talk about? You know, it's so easy to spend, and I've done it. Listen, I've done it. And then you kind of feel, maybe I talked about the stuff too much. Maybe what I should have done at that very moment is I should have just stopped everything. Even if it's a family member, if it's a spouse, or let's just pray about that right now. You know, I have learned, and when I listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because remember, he leads and guides us into all truth, right? I've learned that sometimes when people come up to me and they tell me about, I have a friend at work and their name is Jane and they're going through something. And as pastor, this happened. People will tell me this. And I like it because it tells me that you're thinking about the world that's around you, right? And they say, would you please pray for them? I know me. And I know that I'll forget if I don't do it right then. So if you'll just kind of stop yourself a little bit. Now, let's keep going and see what happens when Jesus asks the question. Verse 17, he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? You see, he notices when you're kind of down. He knows. He knows. And notice what happens. He says, and they then the one whose name was Cleopas. We know that Cleopas was he's the one who spoke up, and we know his name. And I can't wait to meet him in heaven. Because he's one of those interesting characters. He's only mentioned here, right? So I kind of want to know, well, what happened after that? Can you tell me the part that God didn't record for us, right? And whose name was Cleopas. And he answered to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened were in these days? Again, Jesus asks questions, not because he doesn't know the answer. And he said to them, what things? What things? I mean, he's the one who walked through it. He's the one who shed drops of blood, if you will, in the garden, praying for you and me. Oh yeah, down through eternity, us. He went through it. He went through snatching the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And yet he says to them, what things? He wanted to hear what they would say. And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Again, Cleopas and his friend saw everything. They saw the miracles. They saw, they heard the living word spoken.
Thank you.
When he said, Lazarus, come forth. They heard that voice. And so you can see the confusion here. Because they're saying, well, he was a prophet. He was mighty in word and in deed, right? And he says, verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Verse 21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. So, Jewish tradition and Jewish mindset says once somebody is dead for 3 days, there is no coming back. Even the Old Testament folks, if you were dead for 3 days, you were dead. There was no mistaking it. So you could see that their hope had diminished. They were holding on probably. And if you're like anybody who's had God touch your life, and then you go through a high, and then you go through a challenge, you still got that light, that faith down on the inside. You're hanging on. And these guys, apparently they were doing that. They were trying. They were like, we hoped. But now you can see in the tone of their language, they're like, yeah, but it's been 3 days now. And we don't see him. It's been 3 days, right? Yes, and now they're really confused because now they're hearing the rumblings. Verse 22, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive.
Wow, praise the Lord.
So you can see, they're confused. On one minute, they're like, we lost hope, and I'm in fear, and we had hoped he was going to deliver us. But then the other, they're confused. They're getting different messages. You know, you and I get different messages every single day. You can make it. No, you can't. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Yeah, but you blew it. We're getting those messages constantly. But Jesus draws near even in the midst of our confusion. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. I am. And then he goes on to say, but they didn't see his body, right? They didn't find his body. And then, notice what happens right then and there. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. Now, Cleopas and his friend saw the empty tomb. I haven't ever been to Israel, but I'm told that when they take you to that site, that even the most skeptical person that goes there senses something happened here. Something happened here. And so Cleopas and his friend, they said, but they, you know, they found it just as the women had said. They did just as the women had said, but him, they did not see. So remember, the women saw him, right? But they're like, but we didn't see him. We don't know what's going on. We're probably going home right now. They've been on the road with Jesus. They've been following him. And now they're probably going home confused. Like, I don't know what to do next. Maybe I should go back to my job. Maybe I should go back to what I was doing. Maybe they lived in Emmaus. I don't really know. Those are some of the questions that it'll take me 1,000 years to get to that question. Because that first 1,000 years, I just want to be in his presence. Amen. Those the questions I have, maybe I'm wrong, but maybe the questions that I have are just instantly answered when we get in his presence. That's kind of how I think it might be, because then we will know him as he is known face to face. Glory to God in his presence. Notice what happens here. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And when they drew near to the village where they were going, he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. You know, God will, he'll walk with you, even in your unbelief, for a little bit. Did you hear that? You know why? Of his great mercy. His great mercy. But he did tell them. What did he tell them? You foolish ones. Slow to believe. Slow to believe. I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody who's quick to believe. How many want to be in that category? Right? But we all can identify with these guys. Because there have been times where we're slow to believe. Right? There have been times where it's like, God, you did that? Okay. Right? You know, you believe in God, and then all of a sudden he does it, and you go, oh, okay. Right? That ever happened to you? That does to me sometimes. I want to be quick to believe. Say quick to believe.
Quick to believe.
Amen. Now it came to pass, he sat at the table with them. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Verse 31. I love this. Verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. They knew him. And he vanished from their sight. Verse 32. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? While he what? Open the scriptures to us. And they rose up that very hour and turned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road, how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. I want you to get this picture just for a second. A lot of times, we stop this story. I don't know why, because the story's not over. It's like another episode of something you're binge watching, right? The story's not over. If you've ever watched anything, that kind of hooks you in, you know, it just rolls into the next episode, right? There was no stopping here. This was the same episode. These guys, they have seen Jesus. They've seen him. They knew him. And what did they immediately do? They ran back to Jerusalem. 7 miles. Remember, they had almost gone to the village. So now I'm making the assumption, not the scripture necessarily, that they were going to Emmaus, 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. They've run. If you saw Jesus, you'd run too. They ran back. They said, listen, it's night too. Remember, they discouraged him. I want you to see this picture as a real story. Because it's nightfall. They already had dinner now. Jesus broke bread with him. They saw him. He disappeared. They're like, we've seen Jesus. We've got to get back to the disciples and tell them what we've seen. And what he said to us. He opened the scripture to us. So now we saw him all the way through the Old Testament. They were taught by Jesus himself all of the prophecies. And now they're running back to Jerusalem. And now they're in the middle of telling their story. I love this. They're in the middle of, and Jesus has the nerve to interrupt it. It says in verse 36, remember, the episode's not over. Turn to your neighbor and say, the episode's not over. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you, wholeness to you, healing to you, shalom to you. In the middle of this excitement, Jesus shows himself again. So the thing I love about this is that I started thinking about this. I thought, you know, Cleopas and his friend, they got to see Jesus twice in the same day. Some of us go a lifetime without getting some kind of vision or revelation with Jesus. They got it twice in the same day. God must have had something for them. That's why my curiosity is, Lord, what did you do with these guys? Because they saw you twice. You actually spent more time with them in the resurrected space than anybody else. What did you say to them? Think about that for a second. Think about that. And so now, they're in, and then, but they were terrified. They're still frightened. They still get confused. They saw him once before. Listen, they had dinner with him. Now, a couple hours later, he shows up, walks through the wall. Remember, I said resurrected bodies are not hindered by natural circumstances. They also eat, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
So, Jesus shows up in the middle of them. They're frightened. And he said to them, why are you so troubled? Why are you so troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? What is, both times, what does he rebuke them for? Both times. Slow of heart. Slow to believe. And now he says, why are you doubting? Doubt is one of the number one things that the enemy wants to come against you with in your life. To living the life of faith. Doubt. Doubt. That's why last week I brought to you those reasons that we have for the resurrection. Because you need to feed your faith and starve your doubt. Feed your faith. Starve your doubt. Don't give it a place. If you need to shut off whatever news you watch, shut it off. The last probably 3 or 4 weeks now, I used to listen to news radio when I'd go to and from work. You know, I just stopped doing it. And I got to tell you, I'm so much happier.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
I'm so much more focused. I might be a little oblivious about what's going on in the world, but you know, it's okay. Because my eyes are fixed on my Savior. That's where my eyes are fixed on the assignment that he's given me. And rather than waste that time, I just kind of like tuned that one off. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? The focus and the ability to just commune with Father is so much better. Because you're not cluttered. You're not cluttered with all that stuff. Right? So sometimes just turn to your neighbor and say, you might need to shut it off. Right. So, moving on, what does he say? He says, not only did he say peace to you, he said, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see me, for the Spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe, it says, but while they still did not believe, for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? He's hungry. Jesus is hungry.
Glory.
All right. And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. He took it, ate in their presence. This is the second dinner. But now remember, he was down in the grave 3 days. He's hungry. And he whooped the devil for you and me. He's tired after a little fight like that. Well, maybe tired might not even be the word for that. He's hungry. He's just hungry. And then he said to them, "These are the words which I speak to you while I was still with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Glory to God. He opened their understanding. The veil was torn off of their eyes. Glory to God. And you know what? The veil's torn off of your eyes because we live in the New Testament age. You do not have to wander around in the dark wondering what God's going to do. He's given you a sure word. A sure word. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, he opened their understanding they might comprehend the scriptures. He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Behold, this, see, the story's not over. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Story's not over." "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you."
Glory.
Glory to God. "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high."
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
And then he goes for a walk with them. He's had dinner twice now, and he's going for a walk. He says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands, blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried into heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." Amen. So that episode didn't end with two guys venting about stuff. Your episode does not end with you venting about stuff. It doesn't end. He's with you. He draws near to you. He wants to reveal himself to you as the healer, as the one who comes into the presence of your situation of fear and turmoil. And what does he do? He comes in and he says, "Peace be unto you. Shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken." And maybe you came in here today and maybe you feel like, or you're watching online, you say, "Pastor, I feel like stuff's missing. I feel like stuff's broken. I don't feel the shalom of God." I want to tell you today, you can. If you'll just, Like that chorus says, "Lord, open my eyes that I might see Jesus." See, even in the middle of the turmoil, he shows up. And when he shows up, it doesn't matter what's going on. His presence comes in. I've seen him come in the moment of terrible grief when somebody's lost a loved one. I've seen him come in the moment when people have received horrible news. I've seen him come in the moment. I've seen him be there with me in those difficult moments. And his presence makes the difference. And he's there for you today. You can make it because he draws near to you, even in your stuff. Don't focus on the stuff so much. Open your eyes and be quick to believe. Open your eyes and find out the sure word all the way through here that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that he's there, that when you agree in prayer as touching anything, my Father will do it, and I am there in the midst of you. Matthew 18 and 19, if any two of you agree, I will make my presence known. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you receive that today?
Yes, Lord.
Do you receive that? Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That is a word for this church. Easter's over, now what? You can lift up your head and say, it doesn't matter what stuff the enemy throws. It doesn't matter what thoughts, ideas, and negativity he tries to throw at me. Jesus is with me. Oh, and that's all that I need.
Yes, Lord.
And that's all you need.
Yes.
Is to know that he's with you. He's with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's with you. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word today. Easter may be over and all the celebrating and all the things that we do to celebrate your resurrection, Father. But yet, there might be people going through stuff. We live in this world and stuff comes our way. Whether it's sickness, disease, or lack, discouragement, anxiety, depression, medical issues. Father, I thank you that you're here even now and right where people might be in their homes. And Father, that you make your presence known. Shalom. Shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Father, I thank you for your peace on your people today. Lord, I don't know what they're going through. I can't even possibly understand each individual's turmoil or fear or doubt. But you are able to cut through all of that and show up into that space and make a difference. And so, Father, I thank you for it. Thank you for doing it today in the lives of the people of Westchester Family Church and those that watch from online and are part of our online family. God, that you just invade those situations in the name of Jesus right now, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and maybe you're watching online, you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's an entry point of really getting to know Jesus in his fullness. He wants to endue you with power from on high, with the Holy Spirit. He wants to pour out his Spirit so that you can be a witness. He wants to pour out his Spirit on you so you are empowered to live this life, so that you're not alone, that you feel his presence. Wherever you go, you bring his presence wherever you go. And the way you do that is you ask him into your life. You believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he was raised from the dead. And you receive that forgiveness by faith. So right now, we're going to do that. We're going to pray a simple prayer. I'd ask that you would pray out loud with me and make that your prayer. And as we pray together, I believe that Jesus will manifest himself as the Shalom, as the healer, the one who brings nothing broken, nothing missing, and brings that peace. He'll bring forgiveness to your heart, and right now, healing even to your body. Father, we pray this simple prayer right now. Say, Father God,
I come before you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe
in my heart
that Jesus is the Son of God.
That
he died for my sins. I receive his forgiveness. And I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. From this day forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, I pray for healing and I pray for wholeness for your people that are watching in the name of Jesus right now. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, and if you need help in finding a good church, maybe that's near you, or you need help in your walk with God, we want to help you. Please message us through the Messenger app on Facebook so that we can send you some things to help you in your walk with God, perhaps have a conversation with you, help you find a church that works near you. There's so much we want to help. That's our heart, is to help people find the peace of God in the middle of their stuff. And if that's you, please message us. We want to help you out. And don't forget to love, like, and share this broadcast with friends. If you know somebody who needed to hear this today, go ahead and share, love, like, and like this broadcast. It'll really help us. Let's stand our feet right now, and let's have our sending out verse. We do this at our church. It's Psalm 128, verse 7 and 8, if you're there at home. And we just speak this over ourselves and over our church family right now. It says, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. If you need any extra prayer, I'm going to be available right now to pray for you.